And welcome to Sooner Politics Weekend Report. I'm David Vann. It's March 9th, and this is page one. We've got some audits for you folks. Let me tell you about these. These have been audits we've been waiting for years. We've been waiting for this independent audit commission set up by our legislature, impaneled by our legislature and the governor. Last year, they began their work securing the contracts from several competent outside auditing firms. We weren't going to let a state agency audit themselves. We weren't going to let any other state agency audit another agency for this. This is big picture stuff, folks. This is good news. We've been waiting for these. I spoke to the chairman, Bob Sullivan, back in mid-December, and he said, Dave, you'll probably see them around mid-January. We'll be getting these back. We'll be delivering them to the legislature at the same time they're made public. And we waited and we waited. Well, last February, I showed up at the Capitol, this last month, right after the State of the State address. No word. I stopped by the speaker's office. They said, we'll get back to you. Give us your phone number. We will contact you today. That didn't happen. So yesterday, no, actually Thursday, I was down at the Capitol, and I again paid a visit to the speaker's office. I said, look, folks, listen, I don't have those audits yet. This is, again, I'm coming to you. You said you'd contact me. You didn't. There's no explanation. There's no public audits. It's only a matter of time before the conspiracy theories start floating around the blogosphere. Get ahead of it, folks. Please get ahead of it. We don't need to be fighting off a bunch of ridiculous conspiracy theories, but you're not giving us a real explanation. So the good folks at the speaker's office said, you know, we're having problems with formatting the PDFs to get it on the public server that serves all the state documents. Okay, what's it going to take? How many of them are you having a problem with? Well, there's just two of them, but we want to wait till we get all of them and then we'll put them up. Well, that wasn't good. So the chief of staff, Jason Sutton, came out to the front room, talked to me, and he finally says, Dave, you want them? Let me email them to you. Give me your email address. So I did. Surprisingly, and I'm sorry, Jason, I was surprised. You did respond. You sent them that day, within hours. I got them. Thursday night, I went home. Now, listen, I talked to many of the people on the Capitol press group. And in fact, I talked to Trey Savage with Non-Doc, fine journalist. He and I don't always look at the issues the same way. That doesn't mean he's not a fine journalist. I said, Trey, if I get them, I'm going to share them with you. You get them. Please let me see them. Okay, great. So we did. So yesterday morning, I published them. I talked to several legislators and different think tanks, talked to the folks at OCPA. I mean, it was like Christmas morning for them because they're all about fiscal conservatism and accountability in government, getting all the government we pay for, and at least getting what we pay for. So here's what we've got. Six audits done of six agencies. Let's go through the list. We got Department of Corrections. We got the Tax Commission. We got the OMES. That's the Office of Management and Enterprise Services. These are the folks that keep the books on what gets spent by all the other agencies and the money that's given out to them. They are the checkbook holders of the state. So, what else have we got? The District Attorney's Council. You know, there's so many agencies. I didn't even know that agency existed, folks. I'm sorry. Call me ignorant, but I didn't know. Then you got the Bureau of, well, something, Juvenile Affairs. They're in there. I'm leaving some out. You know what? We're going to do a special section just going through these. Look for a special program to come out here soon. We're going to break these down line by line. But anyway, we've got six of them. We ended up going through this, and then these commissioners on the APAC decided to write some of their own recommendations. They called them macro recommendations. That means these are problems that are bigger than just one agency, and they're right. Let's look at this. Recommendation number one. Most, if not all, of the agencies should be accountable back to the head of the executive branch. They represent the executive branch, and yet the executive leader, the governor, really has no say in how they operate. That's a major dysfunction of government. Major dysfunction. So, Governor Stitt got these shortly after the State of the State address. The Senate pro temp got these right away, and so did the Speaker. Now, the Speaker took another one of his documents and he presented them in a closed-door session, legislators only. Whatever happened to the Open Records, Open Meeting Act? I guess it didn't apply here. They showed him one of the documents. This is according to the AP. I talked to Sean Murphy about it, and he pointed to an article by Oklahoma Watch. And evidently, they were just given these lists, no explanation. They didn't actually get to see the audits themselves. So, big recommendation: restructure these agencies so that most, if not all of them, are accountable back to the governor. That means the governor can at will hire and fire the commissioner of the agencies. Well, a bill was written, and Pro Temp Greg Treat highly supported it. It's a bill that said, okay, the governor can appoint with the advice and consent of the Senate. That means whoever he puts in has to be approved by the Senate. Well, the House wasn't happy with that as it stood. So, further negotiations, finally, the House relented. And the House was given special powers. That meant that by a supermajority vote of the Senate and the House, the commissioner, the head of the agency, could be fired. But again, only the governor can appoint with advice and consent of the Senate. So I ask you, why is it, since the Speaker of the House was tasked with the responsibility to make these public, why did he not make them public while he is negotiating to not give the number one recommendation to the governor? The governor is following APAC. The Senate pro temp's following APAC. What about the speaker? Now, we got the right outcome. We had to give the legislature, we had to give the House a few benefits, but essentially, we're getting the opportunity to reform that we need. Does this mean it's going to be perfect? Oh no. There is no perfect system. And I agree with the Democrats on this. They're concerned, again, they're in the minority, so are they going to have power? Probably less power now, more power to the Republicans. However, not only do we have to be concerned about politics getting in the way of running an agency properly, we need an agency that is accountable. And for many of these agencies, that simply does not exist. So, we've got some exciting things to tell you about, but we'll talk about them more after this in page two. Let's talk about SoonerPolitics.org. SoonerPolitics is a citizen journalism project that we started nearly 5 years ago. It was an effort for citizens like you and me to make sure the news was getting out there that maybe the commercial or professional media wasn't covering, or perhaps they were held hostage to an agenda that really wasn't in the best interest of you and me. So, citizen journalism is an essential part of keeping our democracy, and it's in that effort that we boldly proclaim that the freedom of the press is important for all of us. It's not just for commercial media. It's the right of the individual to print, publish, and distribute his free speech. You and I are the press just as much as the commercial media is. We need a strong commercial media. We need a strong professional media. But we also need the ability for us citizens to communicate directly with each other. And SoonerPolitics.org is just one of the tools whereby dozens, literally dozens of Oklahoma bloggers work together to make sure in this cooperative effort that we are able to stay better informed. Be sure to go to SoonerPolitics.org. No subscription fee, no membership. We appreciate you supporting our sponsors. Welcome back to Sooner Politics Weekend Report. I'm David Vann, and this is page two. All right, we were talking about the audits, and we're going to have a special feature on those coming up. I can't tell you when, but we definitely will. And I hope several other bloggers and political activists and think tanks will be weighing in quite a bit on this in the weeks to come. But let's talk about the agency restructuring. Well, finally, after Senate President Pro Temp Greg Treat and Governor Stitt worked out a deal, found out House didn't want to go along with the deal. They threw him a few bones, gave him some special influences on how the agencies are run. Not how the hiring's made, but if there proves a strong feeling of need to remove the agency head, the House can vote, and by two-thirds vote of the House, and then again a two-thirds vote by the Senate, it can be removed, even if the governor does not agree. That was put in there to secure the support of the leadership in the House. Then the bill went forward. On, Wednesday, Senator John Eccles had probably one of the best examples of statesmanship on floor debate that I've seen. And I have to commend the Democrats and the House probably had their best moment I've seen in years. Not by what they said, but by how they said it, how they conducted themselves. I've never seen so many people complimenting their adversaries in Oklahoma politics, certainly not the legislature. Not all one debate, but a series of three bills were put up, and they were strongly supported, probably most of the Republican caucus in the House signed on as co-authors to this, which means they probably had a good discussion in their Republican caucus meeting. And I would expect they had a good give and take on this. So, HB 2479, 2480, and 2483, I believe, were the bills. Juvenile Affairs, Department of Corrections, Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. Those are three of the agencies that are set to undergo these changes. Let me tell you something about currently how the Department of Mental Health works. I know good amount about this. It was restructured back in the last days of the Keating administration, 16, 18 years ago. They restructured it, and the thought then was, you know what, let's not have politicians deciding these things. Let's have experts in the issues that are involved. So they set it up so that most of the members of the board on Department of Mental Health Substance Abuse Services were going to be, by the Oklahoma Psychiatric Association. I'm not even sure I'm getting these names right. You know how it is with these associations. They're trade groups, okay? The Bar Association, again, a lawyer's trade group. Probably District Attorney's Council, I think, or somebody, or maybe it was the Attorney General himself gets to appoint someone. But you have this board made up not of politicians, not of anybody who's elected, but people who just got appointed as delegates by whomever, okay? And I'm sure the governor has appointments. I don't have the math in front of me, but let's talk about this. this board then that's created by all these trade groups and associations, policy wonks, and, you know, advocates for their particular profession, get together. In theory, they hire a commissioner of mental health and substance abuse services. They have the only power to fire. They have the only power to direct. They have the only power to make the hire in the first place. The governor, the legislature are merely spectators. Here's the problem. How do you hold them accountable? How do you get anything done? Let me tell you about this board, Mental Health Substance Abuse Services. One of them is from Lawton. That's important because that one is the only member of the board who is not from the Oklahoma City metro area. There's nobody from the eastern side of Oklahoma. So let's talk about something that happened a couple years ago. A couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to meet with the top leadership, the Department of Mental Health. And I had a few people come with me. And I had Commissioner Terry White's attention for a good 2.5 hours. And we went through grievance after grievance after grievance. I asked her, I said, the one hospital that you've got that's out in northeastern Oklahoma used to serve about 150 patients at a time. It was run by one of your corporate contractors, Grand Lake Mental Health. This was before you became the commissioner. You cut the reimbursement to this agency and they gave up and handed you the keys and said, you run it. So now you guys run it. Instead of having 150 beds, you cut it down to 52. I asked the administrator just a couple weeks previous, I said, how many beds do you think we really need? And she said, oh, we have all the beds we need. We don't need any more beds. I was stunned because I had just come from training detention officers at the jail. And they told us at the jail they have about 500 mentally ill men, besides women, men who are in treatment for serious mental illness there. So I asked Leah Price, the administrator, again, how many beds do you think we really need? And she said, it wouldn't matter how many beds we had. They'd all be full. They'd always be full. So it doesn't matter. So, no, her 52 was fine, she thought. Now, this was a facility that under Grand Lake Mental Health served just Tulsa County. As soon as the state took it over, they cut the beds, eventually over time, down to 1/3, and then said, now that has to serve the entire state. The net result is, if a cop really sees somebody in a psychotic condition, more often than not, they're not going to find a bed, certainly not there, probably not anywhere in the state. What do? You don't have a facility. You got somebody having a meltdown. They're out maybe in the middle of the street scaring the neighborhood kids. More often than not, the cop, and I'm not going to disparage their intentions, they know there's a jail, and they want to believe that jail can be the hospital they need it to be for this person. So they arrest them. Disorderly conduct, resisting an officer, whatever. And keep in mind, I'm getting this from the jail staff, okay? I won't name names, but they said more often than not, they're just here on the pretense of having violated law. In reality, they're there because they're psychotic. So, what's happening here is Tulsa, this is according to Terry White, it's worse in Tulsa than anywhere else in the state. So I ask why that is. Terry White blames the big hospitals for not absorbing more of the load, being willing to take whatever the government's willing to fund them, Medicaid, Medicare, I don't know, whatever. But it's been 2 years since that conversation. It's not any better. It's getting worse. Now, when your entire board, who you answer to, is from Oklahoma City area, how do the people in the rest of the state get any sense that they get any representative voice? They can go talk to their legislator, but how do they talk to your board? Is your board willing to listen? obviously, if their board is your boss, commissioner, we've got to have a way, and we haven't had any breakthrough. I'm saying all that to say this, folks. This may not be a perfect system, but we've got to shake something loose. So on Thursday morning, while I was at the Capitol, I went to see my legislator, is a Democrat, Denise Brewer. She voted against this. I just said, Denise, here's the deal. And she wasn't aware of this. She wasn't aware of the statistics, how bad the mental health crisis is. I said, I need you to get with your Republican colleagues from the Tulsa area. And you guys need to band together, Democrats and Republicans. And whatever this system brings us, we have to make sure that all of the state is served equally, that all of the state is considered. I don't know that this formula is any better. All I know is if Governor Stitt doesn't handle it, his job's on the line. If the Speaker makes some stupid appointments, he's on the line. If the Senate pro temp makes some stupid appointments, he's on the line. Now, this will take some time, but hopefully we'll get some wear on this. So that's just one picture from the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. And this gives us an example. Now, I'll tell you, there are times I think Terry White does a great job, and on some things, she does a phenomenal job. But again, if her board is tone deaf to the needs of a particular area of the state, this kind of grumbling is going to happen. And I'm not going to shut up, and I'm not going to back down on this. Because what's happening in Tulsa is our mayor is complaining about how much money it costs him to put an inmate, or you know, somebody who's arrested, in the county jail. That's costing our city a lot of money. Our county jail, we just had a bond issue, $15 million, because we had to build a mental health hospital in our jail, because one-third of the people in our jail had serious mental illness. The jail's not a mental hospital, folks, and never was intended to be and never should be. A person shouldn't be criminalized just because he has an illness. And in the hospital, he would actually get treatment that he needs. You can't have any confidence that he's going to actually be treated as a patient to any degree while he's in the jail. There won't be follow-up care. There won't be, you know, follow-up checkups. Fact is, when they leave the jail, oftentimes they get cut off cold turkey off their medicine. Now, we're working on that as well. But this is just a picture of the agency reforms. I'm using as an example the Department of Mental Health, Substance Abuse Services. I certainly could have used examples from Department of Corrections. I could have used examples from Juvenile Affairs. I'm sure the folks there are not all good, not all bad. But the system is dysfunctional. And that was recommendation number one from the APAC Commission. We'll be back after this in page three. You know, one of the things I like about family-run businesses here in Oklahoma are some of the solid business ethics that you see by Oklahoma families taking care of other Oklahoma family needs. George and Becky Fott are two such people. They're Clean Pro Carpet Fire Water Restoration Company has been serving the Muskogee area for many, many years, and now in their second generation with Jameson and the rest of the team, they're restoring to much of eastern Oklahoma's special needs for maintenance as well as disaster recovery. Look to George and Jameson and the whole team next time you have a need. Take a look at your carpets right now. Are you ready for carpet cleaning? Forget the big bulky machines you have to lug in and out of the grocery store. Just call Jameson and George and the team. They're in Muskogee, 918-686-0222. That's Clean Pro, Oklahoma. You can contact them at cleanpromuskogee.com. Welcome back for page 3 of Sooner Politics Weekend Report. I'm David Vann. We're glad you're with us tonight. Well, this one's a disappointing subject. Woke up to the news today. Former senator just pled guilty to some charges. It was a plea bargain. He was originally charged with felony sexual battery. Yeah. Yet another one. Now, this goes back a good, year and a half ago. It's Bryce Marlatt. He was a senator from northwestern Oklahoma, 9 counties out there, Panhandle, surrounding area, Woodward. Bryce could have done something much better and built a greater legacy than what, unfortunately, he's left with. Bryce went and got help. It's good. Congratulations, Bryce. I wish you the best. I really want to see your full recovery and ability to be the best you can be. Restore your dignity, your honor. But, and congratulations going to get help for your drinking issues. See, what happened to Bryce, seems like Oklahoma City was the frat boy party town for a number of legislators like Bryce and others. And it was in June 2017. He was in town, staying at a hotel, you know, and he called. Fortunately, congratulations, Bryce. You didn't try to drive your own car. Congratulations. Called an Uber. Good move. Except that you thought the gal was hot that was driving the Uber. And in your lack of discretion, you decide to treat yourself to a little bit of the Uber driver. Yeah, I'm not going to get into details, okay, folks? It was enough to cause an indictment. It was enough to cause charges and enough, in the end, to cause his resignation and his plea bargain guilty plea. He's going to get off with $500 fine, I think 3 months probation. It's a slap on the wrist, you know, folks. And then we found out another political leader. This wasn't an elected official, but he's a lobbyist, Russell Hunter. He goes by T. Russell Hunter. Ends up his first name's Thomas. How do we know that? Because on his arrest record, it said Thomas Hunter. Thomas, when drinking, pretty bad. It was last summer. I think it was in August. Saying this summer, I don't know. It was a Saturday night. He got pulled over. Officer wrote in his report, observed him going about 50 miles an hour, you know, in a residential area. Yeah, he was drunk. I mean, he failed just about every test they gave him. Fact is, he was at double the legal intoxication numbers. You know, a lot of devout evangelical Christians, well, just devout people of faith, people, pro-life advocates. Excuse me, that was just a dirty word, according to Russell Hunter. To him, pro-life means that you're willing to allow some babies to be killed. Yeah, sorry, Catholic nuns. He thinks that you're willing to let some babies be killed, too, because you go by the term pro-life. Well, Russell's been an advisor to Dan Fisher's governor candidate run in the primary. Lately, he's been an advisor to Senator Joseph Silk. I don't know if Joseph Silk knew about his indiscretions. I don't know. I just don't know. Russell kept this pretty quiet, pretty much under wraps. And for a long time, eventually it came out. You know, the scripture says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Folks, we need leaders of personal integrity. Why? Because when they advocate for things, they allow stupid stuff of their own vices to discredit the things they stand for. And when it comes for the stand of protecting the lives of the unborn, we need people of character. We need people of integrity. Russell believes in redemption. He believes in forgiveness. And I do too. I believe Russell can address those things in his life. Bryce Marlette went for treatment for his liquor addiction. I don't know if it's addiction. His liquor problem, okay? Russell Hunter, get help. Get help. Get back in the game. Reset with a greater level of discretion, prudence. Bring balance to your own life, and you can bring better balance to the issues. Sad to talk about this, folks, but right now, the Republicans are looking a lot worse than the Democrats when it comes to political leaders in Oklahoma. Yeah, there are a lot more of them, I know. No, the Democrats, are not white as pure as the driven snow either. But folks, we can discredit the values we stand for when we let our own vices sideline us. Now, Scripture says that, we should have a meekness about this because any of us can fall. And that's true. That includes you. It does include me. Okay? But I want to encourage everybody to learn from this. Senator Brinkley just got out of prison. He stole, $1.8 million from the Better Business Bureau, which he was in charge of for years. Yeah, Better Business Bureau, which is supposed to stand for, a number of things like integrity and, anyway. So, folks, it's a sad thing to talk about, but let's move on to something else. Let's stop for this message, and we'll be back with page 4. Let me take a moment to tell you about Triad Heat and Air Company here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, serving northeastern Oklahoma for several years now. Ted Smith is a fine businessman who operates by the old-fashioned ethic of treating others the way you want to be treated. In fact, sometimes going beyond. Ted and Rhonda are some fantastic Oklahoma citizens and great neighbors to have here. Next time your family has a need, maybe the heater went out, maybe it'll be this summer before you need some help, trust Triad Heat and Air. Trust Triad to keep your home as comfortable as can be. They're at 918-622-6000. Triad Heat and Air. Welcome back to Sooner Politics Weekend Report. I'm David Van. This is page 4. We've got some new bills expected to come to the governor's desk this week. This will be exciting, folks. Here's what they are. Last week, the governor announced this breakthrough on the agency restructuring legislation. He said, I expect to sign this next week. Well, next week is right around the corner now, isn't it? So the bills to restructure the agencies should be at the governor's desk. I don't know if they have to go back to the Senate for approval of some amendments to the bills, or maybe they started over and started with, yeah, that's right, they started with new House legislation. So we're going to go probably fast track in the Senate, and then we're going to go to the governor's desk on that. The other one, Monday, big vote, Senate floor, medical marijuana regulations. Again, we had emergency regulations put in place by the health department last summer. After giving it a couple of efforts, they finally got something we could live with until now. We don't have product safety standards on it. That means consumers, be advised, check it out for yourself. Be sure you're buying a reliable product from a reliable dispensary. And we have a few other things. We're going to tweak it just a little bit. It's not accurate what Senator McCourtney said, that this doesn't change 788. It does. There are a number of restrictions that are in here. Greg, I know you're trying hard. I know you've come a long way on this, but let's fess up. We've got some changes. Now, some of them are good. And actually, what it does is it reverts back to the language of 788, where the health department really tried to sabotage. It says any board-certified physician, that's licensed to practice on Oklahoma citizens or Oklahoma residents is able to do a recommendation. Well, the Department of Health decided that board certified didn't mean certified by the state board of, you know, medicine or osteopathic. They decided that meant you had a specialty. Well, the doctor, you know, listen, the language of the bill said you can get a recommendation from a doctor with whom you have a relationship. Do you not understand, Board of Health? The intent here was not to go doctor shopping. The intent here is that your own doctor should be able to, in the large picture of things, having plenty of history, having treated you for a long time, having been treating your overall health, including receiving all of the data back from whatever specialist that he sent you to, or her, she, and being the true quarterback of your healthcare team. That's the person we want doing it. Many of them are what we call general practitioners. They're fully licensed. They just didn't go into a specialty. So you know what the Board of Health did in all their wisdom? They said that only those who have a unique specialty can do it. So what did they do? They decided, obstetrician, there we go. There's somebody that is specialized in childbirth, right? Yeah, they can handle things when somebody's got a mental health breakdown. Yeah, they're the ones that really know how to handle it when somebody's got geriatric arthritis conditions and bone deterioration and has chronic pain. Yeah, that makes sense. Not. No, we're restoring that. So that's a good thing. I commend the people that worked on the interim study this summer, the bicameral study. That includes all the senators who worked with the co-chairs, Senator McCourtney, Representative John Eccles, Majority Floor Leader, and for all the people, the members of the House, they worked hard. We all owe them a debt of gratitude because they took time out of their re-election campaigns, and some of them really were concerned about the race, but this was more important to them, and I commend them. Now, getting back to this, what this bill doesn't address is banking. Another thing it doesn't address is the corruption of the taxation that's going on by the Oklahoma Tax Commission. The people understood the clear language. The medical marijuana should be taxed at a dispensary at a 7% tax. You know what? I tell you, it takes a bureaucrat to think this way. They said, 7%, well, that must be an excise tax. And since it's subject to an excise tax, why, we should also put a sales tax on it. Yeah, and we should let the counties and cities then put their tax on it. So 7% now all of a sudden became more like 16%. This bill doesn't fix that. This bill is deficient, folks. Now, if they're willing to fix this, if they can promise that they're going to follow along with trailer bills to address these other issues, good. Make a commitment. Let's get this done. All right? So those are two bills that are coming before the governor this week, assuming they reach the last hurdles, assuming that the governor supports both of them. Whatever we do, folks, we got to fix this. Medical marijuana rules, the emergency rule power of the Department of Health, they expire at the end of the summer. We got to have something else in place. You know, you think it's chaotic now? It'll really be chaotic then. So let's come back after this with page 5. When's the last time you were in an old-fashioned carpenter shop? Well, it's been a while for me, too. Let me tell you some of the quality you'll find when you go to thecarpentershop.net, serving Central Oklahoma. If you're sick of the cheap, junky, contractor-grade cabinetry that came with your home, or that maybe somebody just threw in on a cheap insurance disaster recovery project, next time you want good cabinets, the next time you want something that says something about the quality that you put in your home, contact thecarpentershop.net. Al and the team
work with all the finest woods, all the finest finishes, and all the best designs, from traditional to contemporary, thecarpentershop.net. Let them be your source the next time you want to make a better statement in improving your home. Carpentershop.net.
Welcome back to Sooner Politics Weekend Report. I'm David Vann, and this is page 5. Thanks for being with us tonight. Well, the crisis pregnancy centers of Oklahoma are going to get a special treat from our legislature. Seems the House just passed a bill to put $2 million in appropriated fund for grants to be received from crisis pregnancy centers. These are the people that try to find a way to help a person who's destitute to actually have a successful childbirth. Whether they're going to give up that child for adoption to a family that's been pleading for a baby, or whether they're going to try to put things together to raise that child with their own family support, whatever the case may be, the effort is to end the scourge of abortion in Oklahoma. And that's a laudable goal. Now, there are people who say, from a libertarian perspective, is this a core function of government? Is this the kind of pork barrel spending on special things that really the government shouldn't get involved in? I'm going to say, yeah, there's an argument to be made there. But there's also an argument to be made that, you know, if this is what it takes to save lives, to save thousands of babies from abortion, is that a core function of government? Good point, right? So whatever your argument might be on this, the fact is this bill is ready to get a vote in the Senate real soon. We'll see what happens. There'll probably be, oh, I would say maybe $60,000 in grant money per crisis pregnancy center. Some have been operating for decades in Oklahoma. I know I used to attend a church that had one right there. It was at Christian Chapel, Assembly God Church in South Tulsa. It was Men Crisis Pregnancy Center. They've done great things. I've had an opportunity to work with Catholic Charities. My wife and I have brought in a woman who, she'd already had 2 abortions. She was dealing with PTSD issues and night terrors and trauma. But yet her boyfriend kicked her out if she wouldn't get an abortion. She wasn't going to kill a third baby. So we helped her. My wife took her to birthing classes. My wife was there in the birthing room, helped deliver the baby. It's a wonderful experience for us when we were just married before we had any kids of our own. And now I'm not trying to toot my horn on this, but I know the need for this kind of thing, and I've seen it happen. Now, we aren't paying people to do what Debbie and I did. No, that's really not something that Debbie or I wanted. Or should we be doing that? But there are some costs of setting up an office and having a storefront or a facility in another building or whatever it be, just so you can have volunteers reach out and help these people. So I commend the efforts of John Eccles. His heart's in the right place, even if some of my libertarian friends wouldn't agree with him. But that's a good news, right? It's good news, at least in what our intent is here in Oklahoma. So I'm David Vann for Sooner Politics. It's been Week in Report. We're glad you've been a part of it this week. Hope you have a great week coming up. We'll see you next weekend on Sooner Politics Week in Report.